Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Some guidance from above. The people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love? The love?
It just ain't the same. Always new change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
What's the love, y'all?
We're forgiving people dying, children hurt.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. This is Bob Oleon Gatewood. I'm with the Brothers for Real Radio Show. I have on the line with me Joseph and Robert and Inspector Curtis. A lot going on in our world, a lot going on in the whole wide world. I tell you, man, this is getting crazy out here. It's getting crazy, man. I'm kind of, you know, let me just go. It's getting crazy out here, man. I'm trying to tell you. I was just looking at this. We'll get to the brothers in a minute. Hey, Robert, how you doing, man? Hey, Joseph, how you doing,
Leon,
brother?
What's up, Funky? What's up, Robert?
Hey,
hey, man, I was just looking at this thing here now. Y'all know a few days ago, the President of the United States pulled the troops out of Syria. Is that correct? That's where they went. Pulled the troops out. And I'm reading the headline, Turkey Chaos, the mess Trump made. And they know those Turks move right in. Like you say,
man,
they had to be already on the way.
They had to be already
waiting on Trump to say it.
They had the engines already revving, I believe. The engine was already on.
You know what I'm saying? They think we can't be this stupid to believe this wasn't something that was already in the making.
Yeah. What that old saying? When things don't make sense, follow the money. Follow the money. There's some money in there somewhere.
Follow the money.
I don't know where, but there's some money in there, up in there somewhere. Hey, well, you know what, Lee?
Follow the money.
Here's an interesting piece of news. Hey, do I sound like I'm on a headset? Or am I clear?
You sound all right, man. You know, it's Wednesday.
All right. Yeah, it is Wednesday. That's right. Everything goes. But 51% of Americans are now in favor of impeachment and removal of Donald J. Trump from office. That's a majority, over a majority of Americans now approve of impeachment and removal. There's another 4% that says you can impeach him but don't remove him. So you really, that's 55% of the country right now is saying impeach the president. That's very interesting.
That 4% and that other 45% need Jesus.
45% that doesn't agree.
Yeah, that 4% and that 45%, they need Jesus bad. I mean,
So you saying the one that
and don't remove him,
they
need Jesus too.
They need Jesus too.
They need Jesus too, brother.
They're a little fickle. They're a little undecided. A little undecided. They said, we don't
like
want
an undecided
him to go, but they want to send a message to him, but not necessarily. Well, yeah, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense either.
They're like an undecided voter.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it pretty much has followed the standard numbers since Trump has been in the White House. About 40% still stand by the president and say that he either has done nothing wrong or what he did wasn't wrong, or they think it's part of some kind of vast conspiracy to remove him from office. So that 40% has not budged from day one. It has been between 35 and
40% of crazy people.
Yeah.
That means we have a solid 40% crazy population.
Yeah, it doesn't say very much about the state of America, of the country. But the good thing, you know, what keeps me sane and believing that as people just go through these phases, that Barack Obama won twice. The other thing that makes me contemplate and think about this in a different way, probably than some people, when you are under the influence of somebody who's very gifted at mind control and exploiting people's weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and then you can con anybody sometimes. And despite of any type of evidence, some people just are not going to be swayed. So I just hope that there's enough people who are rational in light of overwhelming evidence that they can be enlightened and I guess make a good decision based on the evidence. And that's regardless of whatever the situation is, politics or whatever, that you have to stand on facts and evidence when you make these kind of decisions. And the evidence has been overwhelming that the president has had his hand in some things that he shouldn't have, and he's been less than honest with the American people.
Yeah.
So,
it's been a bit. And so, what can we do, man?
Well, I think.
Trump needs to be impeached. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yeah, Trump needs to be impeached. Trump needs to be removed from office. Should have been removed from office, but at this point, I'd just rather see the people vote him out, because keep in mind, elections are next November.
Mm-hmm.
And if they start an impeachment now, well, you know it's going to last into the election. And
well,
they won't have him out of office by the first week of November, I can assure you of that, even if they start an impeachment tonight. Huh?
But, Joseph, when you remove it, and I agree on the thesis of what you're saying, the foundation of it. The challenge is that you have a lot of disenchanted young people who may not vote if they feel that it's all about politics and just seeing who's going to get the most votes or who the impeachment is going to benefit more. It's like the law. When somebody shoots somebody, they should be locked up, regardless of who it's going to hurt, who the shooter, who the shooty. The law is the law. And so justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to have this towel around her head and the light up in the air. And it's not supposed to say, well, it's blind unless there's an election coming or unless I know a perpetrator or the accuser or the plaintiff. It's supposed to be absolute. Now, we know that's not the case. But I think when you start injecting timetables, and it's almost like when President Obama was trying to nominate Merrick Garland as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In a fair and just democracy, it should not have mattered that the election was coming. It was during an election season. But that was their excuse for not bringing it to the floor. And that's where people get disillusioned in the politics, because everything is timed. It's got to be at the right time. So right is not necessarily right by itself. Right is right with an asterisk, depending on who, what, when, where, timing, and so forth. So that's my concern, Joseph, that if they wait until November, those young people are going to jump ship.
Okay.
And another thing, I was thinking Rob was going to say what I was going to say, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That another concern of mine is he's not guaranteed to get voted out.
That's true.
Yeah, that's good. That's
okay,
good.
I changed my mind. Let's do an impeachment.
But you know what, Joe? I was not a big fan of impeachment either. But because I was kind of like sitting on the fence. But then I always do this. This is my litmus test for everything. If you're not sure, just do what's right. The right thing is to follow through. If you've broken the law, if you have been accused of high crimes and misdemeanors, and there's a compelling evidence, then you just do what's right. And so when I extrapolate and move myself from all of the politics of whether I want him gone or not want him gone, I want him gone sooner or later, when you move all that out of the way, you just say, look, we just need to do what's the right thing, what the law says. Then it just, there's no question. It's just, well, you got to do it. It's the that's their sworn duty. That's the duty of the Constitution of the Congress to enforce and use the balance, the checks and balances, to check the executive branch. And if they fail to do that, then they're derelict in their duties, regardless of.
Let me ask you this, guy. What can they do with this guy that defies all orders? I mean, you can't impeach him. They won't agree with or comply with impeachment. They won't comply with subpoenas. I mean, what, Robert? You in D.C.? What y'all gonna do?
I think Joseph will agree with this. He's been a student of history and the Constitution. Is that we're really having a constitutional crisis. And what constitutes a constitutional crisis is when the branches of government are at a standstill, and you actually the Constitution does not solve the immediate problem before you. There's nothing in the Constitution that can make this problem go away. So you have to rely on some other type of forum to mediate. So we actually have a constitutional crisis in our hands.
Yeah, and that's of course, and that's brought on by the Republican Senate, because
right.
The Republican Senate, if they were compelled to do their job or to follow live up to their constitutional duties, we would not be in this situation. Trump would have been long gone, but the problem is the problem, right? Because he got to get 60 votes in the Senate to remove him from office. And of course, and that's one of the issues, that's one of the things that Nancy Pelosi, while she's been straddled the fence on it so long, she's been saying, you know, why go through the long process of impeachment? And once it gets to the Senate and the tribe in the Senate, regardless of what evidence they bring against him, you're not going to be able to get 60 senators to vote to remove him.
And from a practical sense, Joe and Leon, she is exactly right. But from a moral and legal, she doesn't have a leg to stand on because
right,
her
you're right.
Duty.
I agree with that. But
practically,
she's supposed to do what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to do what she's supposed to do according to the Constitution, just like you said earlier. Just because you don't think the person will go to jail, or you know, because he shot somebody, that's not a reason for you not to go ahead and prosecute him according to the law.
Yeah, I hope everybody else will do their role, fulfill their role.
Right.
But
right.
We
you
know that's not
going to
be the case.
Right. You just have to do what you're supposed to do.
That's exactly
so
right.
So I changed my mind. We need to go ahead and impeach the scoundrel.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me tell y'all something. Not only is Rihanna talented, not only is she beautiful, now she has my full attention.
What did Rihanna do?
Rihanna sounds off on Trump. This is a headline I'm reading.
What?
Rihanna sounds off on Trump. Rihanna says Trump is the most mentally ill human being in America.
Good God, I'm at it. Rihanna, the singer?
bashing Trump is popular right now.
That's it, apparently. Rihanna,
that just turned me on.
Look at Rihanna. I'm Seriously, I'm going to put one of her posters up in my room now.
You know, bashing Trump is pretty popular now. But the problem is, I mean, I'm going to throw something out here, and I'm not saying that it's true, but it's a possibility, and I believe it, because just like we said earlier, and of course that's been my main theme lately, when people act strange, follow the money. Like those senators up there, you know, I said this a lot of times, probably even said it on this show, when Trump gave that tax break, one corporation, Berkshire Hathaway, their bottom line improved by $30 billion. That's a lot of cheese for one corporation. That one multinational company, it improved their bottom line by $30 billion. That's one multinational company, and so let's say, for example, these people decided we're going to slide some money on the table to these senators to keep them intact. It only takes $1 billion to pay all of those senators, just the Republicans, $20 million.
I was sitting there putting $30 billion in my little calculator. I was going to do some math. It won't even fit in my little calculator.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, but that's one. That's just one multinational company, Berkshire Hathaway.
Right.
So when you're going up against that kind of money, you're gonna run into some roadblocks. Trust me. And that's why Trump.
So when you see people like,
I
was just gonna say. So when you see people like Lindsey Graham out there acting completely foolish, he got about a $20 million check.
That's what I'm telling you. At least. I mean, people don't be that crazy for free.
Who would give a flip if you're acting like a fool if you got $20 million in your pocket?
That's right. What I'm saying, but people don't go acting crazy for free.
the same people that
said Trump wasn't fit for office, Trump didn't know anything about government, Trump didn't represent the people. They said all kind of ugly things about Trump when they were running against the night. Once Trump got in office, every one of them stepped in line. Every one of them.
Stepped in line with their hands out.
Stepped in line with their hands out.
Yes, sir.
But there's a special place in hell for Lindsey Graham.
Well, you know,
I've never seen
Trump
naked.
Lindsey Graham
went
to hell before he even died.
I mean, it's all over the internet. They have the memes now of where he basically said, if we elect Donald Trump president, he's going to destroy this country, and we deserve it. Now, those are his exact words. The same man he's supporting right now.
He said we will destroy the country. Money.
Is that much money? Good God.
Money. But what I'm saying, you know, we good guys. You know, you couldn't buy us out like that. But these guys are criminals. These guys up there in the Senate. You know, like I said, you know, people have often asked me, say, why you don't run for some type of public office? I said, well, anybody that's smart enough to be, anybody smart enough to be in the Senate, the House, they're too honest for the job. That's the problem. No, anybody that's honest enough or too honest enough to go up there. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But think about this, guys. There's an inherent conflict of interest in the Senate, the Congress. There should be no way in the world that you can accept money. Now, you're the person who's supposed to be making the laws for the country. How can you, in good conscience, or even should it be legal for you to accept money from people for whom the laws apply? Think about that for a minute. You're writing laws for the country.
That way.
Yeah.
Well, the problem, you know why that they can get away with that? What do they call them?
They make
them?
The laws.
They're lawmakers.
They make the laws to suit themselves.
Exactly right. They're lawmakers.
That is you're talking about it's just built into the system, a conflict of interest, just naked. I'm taking money from people who are going to be affected by the law that I'm making or not making.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco industry, NRA. That's why we can't get rid of these guns. You're taking
can't
money from the
nothing.
Folks who, yeah. So this thing is broken so badly. It is so broken.
It's disgusting, man.
And the thing about it is, see, Trump, they have been, and I know a lot of people might disagree with me on this, but there have been other presidents worse than Donald Trump. The only difference is with Donald Trump, he is not a seasoned politician. He does not know how to cover up his bad deeds. George Bush Jr., what's his name, and Ronald Reagan, them two jokers are just as bad as Trump, if not worse.
But you know what, Joe, it's good you said that, because I was about to say something that actually supports what you were saying. What Donald Trump has done is made it okay. You can't shame people anymore. In the old days, people were just as corrupt, but they were ashamed to show it. They didn't flaunt it. They didn't hid it.
Right.
And Trump has made it okay to flaunt it. That has been the big difference.
That's right.
He's made it okay.
Racism,
whether evil.
Corruption. Racism, corruption, sexual abuse, all those things have been made okay under Trump. Where in the past you could be run out of town on any one of those, but now like, hey, that's okay. Trump did it.
Well, you know, it's been made okay for white boys.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
man. Oh, it's particularly the folks.
Joe was on the road, brother. We there. This dude does not play.
I mean, you know, you just have to come out and say it. It's, you know, say what it is. You know, he made it okay for the white boys. You know, he made white privilege okay. You know, okay, guys, you are a white boy. Y'all can do whatever you want to. You can steal money. You can lie, cheat. You can sexually harass women. It's okay, man. Y'all are white boys. Because, see, what you have to – seeing what these guys thinking is, They're going back, you know, when Trump said things like "Make America Great Again." Well, he's going back to what he really means. That back when a time when a white man, you know, could do whatever he wanted to do, and back when a time when the only people that had any voice or any say were white men that owned land. You know, in other words, the wealthy. That's what when he said "Make America Great Again," that's what he's talking about. He's talking about white male privilege.
Well, we do know that the Constitution was written during a time when we were in shackles and chains, and it definitely wasn't written to protect us and serve us.
Right.
I know that for a fact. So going back, hearkening for the good old days, in other words, saying this doesn't apply to you. That means people like the ones on this phone.
Mm-hmm.
So the hypocrisy. I've been a full of hypocrisy, I think, since I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of a black and white guy most of my life. It's like, if I see something that's hypocritical, I don't care who you are, what it is. I'm going to see it for what it is.
That's exactly right.
And in most cases, when you start applying it to, when you apply that litmus test to the United States government and the Congress and the president, my hypocrisy meter just gone and over. It's just blowing up. My hair's on fire over here because it's so rampant. I've never seen it this bad in my life since that meter came on to me when I was a child. I've never seen it so bad.
Right. You got some hopeless hypocrites out here now. I mean,
and Graham is the
bad.
Poster boy. Lindsey Graham. He's the worst. Lindsey Graham is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think he got dementia.
He's something got to be. When it comes to that, he is worse than Trump. He's the worst human being I've ever seen when it comes to hypocrisy. I've never seen anything so in my life.
And this is another point I was going to make before you all got me to change my mind about when I was saying, you know, might as well just wait for the election. I was thinking, if you get rid of Trump and you put another. Who you going? What other Republican do you know that you can put in there? That's the next question.
I'm gonna tell you.
All of them just as big as devils as he is, or worse.
I'm telling you my position on that. I think their politics are probably just as bad or worse than Trump. But I think Trump's a little unhinged. I'm really concerned about this.
A lot unhinged. I'm very honest because she thinks like me. This is a mentally ill guy.
As bad as Pence's politics is, he's not going to be calling black women dogs like Trump did in a tweet about Omarosa. I don't think that's going to come out of Pence's mouth. And he might think it, but he's not going to say it, and he's not going to be corrupting the minds of our young people. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it. We need a politician in these times. we need a good old old-fashioned politician.
I'm trying to tell you.
Right this ship.
What's that disease that these rich white boys been pleading lately when they call it influenza or something?
Influenza, yeah.
Yeah. You know that's what Trump is suffering from. See, he's always gotten his way. And now that he is in the White House, he don't see why things should be any different. And you know, when these guys are like this, they can't change.
Columnist and commentator Charles Blow wrote an interesting article called "The Lowest White Man," and he was, as the basis of that was a quote made by Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was a Southern Dixiecrat who became president, and he said, if you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best black man, then you can really take his money. As a matter of fact, if you can give him somebody to look down on, he'll empty his pocket for you.
That's
and
right.
So he wrote an article that basically said that Donald Trump was the poster boy of that. And he did a comparison between Trump and Obama, and how he basically said Trump was the lowest white man because he didn't have the skills, he didn't have the background, the experience, or anything to be president of the United States.
Well, you know, I wrote a little essay about him.
They were flocking to him like the Pied Piper, some of the people. And a good thing about it, guys, is that it's not everybody. And we have to kind of keep that in mind. It's not everybody, because if it was everybody, we just might as well just pack up and leave right now. But it's that 40% that have this Jim Jones mentality that no matter what he does,
right.
That's the people that Charles Blow was talking to, basically what he was saying, the lowest white man. Those people, that's the one that Lyndon Baines Johnson was talking about. And there's some people
who
really dislike Trump as much as we do. And they're all
colored. You know, I wrote an essay about that. Now, and basically what I said was, I said that to your cousin, because, you know, he's a Trump supporter. And I said to him, I said, the only reason that Donald Trump ran for president, I said, because he felt as though if a black man can be president, the low-down, dirtiest, sorriest white man had the right to be president. I said, and there were a lot of other white people that felt the same way. But what I was telling my cousin was, he felt like he knew that strategy would work on white people, but he had no idea that he would get some black support.
Yeah, that's been a surprise. That's really been a surprise. That's a strange offshoot of African Americans who have somehow justified their support for Donald Trump. And this was the shocking part, is that you're talking about some intellects here. You're talking about some people who were former Obama supporters. And that's a concern for me, that number has grown since he's been in the White House. Grown. It hasn't shrunk. It has grown.
Yeah, well, that's just a sign of a bad mind, that's all that is.
The actor, Isaiah Washington, the actor Isaiah Washington, who was on Grey's Anatomy, very popular guy. So he voted for Obama two terms. But now he's a Trump supporter. And he's not alone in that thinking. So
I don't get it. The reason I don't get it is because, I mean, what is he doing for you? First of all, I mean, I don't get that part. And the part I don't get is how you can stomach all of the disgusting qualities, not qualities, but disgusting features of his personality, of his person. How do you justify supporting that or supporting someone with that? I don't know how you do it. Robert, we've got to take a break. When we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna switch gears just a little bit and talk about some stuff that we probably need to talk about. And we'll be back in a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. We really enjoy talking to ourselves, but we would love to talk to you too, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brother for Real Radio Show. You have Leon, Joseph, and Robert on the line, and we're just kind of spilling our beans tonight on some stuff.
Hey, Leon, when you get a minute, I want to share a number with you, some numbers with you.
Yeah.
Your intros.
Yeah, some numbers. Yeah, man. You know, I just wanted to run this all right quick, this story. But we can talk about this when you run your numbers. I want to, since we're talking about strange behavior of African Americans, strange things that we're doing, I did want to just talk a little bit about this thing that happened down in Texas with this young lady who shot this brother. Said she was in, she thought she was in her apartment.
Oh yeah,
and the way the African Americans kind of just fell in love with the lady down there.
Oh,
that
man.
Weird, man.
Hey, Leon,
you know
what I...
Go ahead,
Joe.
Huh? That reminds me of what I told this guy years ago about... the one thing about black folk, the only time they can turn the other cheek is when they're dealing with white folk. But, I mean, if a black man does something to them, boy, they mad for life. I'm never gonna go to another black man. Not only they never forgive that black man, but won't never forgive. Don't mad at all black people. Are you black person? That's what they do. I mean, you know, narrow-minded black people. You know, but black people that's really you know, have a good mind. They don't do stuff like that. It's like I was in Sunday school, not Sunday school, it was Bible study years ago, and this black woman in class, we were talking about turning the other cheek and forgiveness. This mm-hmm. black woman got up and said somebody borrowed $20 from her and they didn't pay her back, and I'll never speak to them again. I said, good. She said that in church. And I told Dr. Dawkins, I think you met Dr. Dawkins, because you came over there and played some music for us that time, and he was over there making a speech, because he was working for the prison at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Dr. Dawkins and I, we used to talk a lot. And I told Dr. Dawkins something. He amened me on it. I said, because he was writing a book about black folks and how bad the head was messed up. I said if black people judge white people same way they judge each other, I said black people will be shooting white people on sight. If they judge other white people by the same standards they judge each other. There's no way. Have you ever seen, of all this gang banging going on and folks going to court for killing each other, have you ever seen anybody go up there and hug the guy that just shot their brother? Or mama go up there and shoot the gang? Have you ever seen that?
No, they're jumping over the table trying to get to him.
Right.
They're jumping over the table, dragging him through the aisle.
Right, and going by shooting the house up that night.
But you know, Mother Emanuel in Charleston, South Carolina. The guy, this little punk, went in there and killed these nine people, including one of my classmates. Every time I say that, I have to give a shout out and moment of silence to my classmate, Myra Singleton, who was in that massacre. We played in the band together. And the guy shot her 8 times. He shot the oldest lady, Miss Jackson, 11 times with a high caliber .45 pistol. And that kind of rocket, it's like a mini rocket, basically. You turn people to mush, and you start shooting five. The average person was shot 8 times. Pink Lady, a pastor, was shot first. He was shot 3 times. Now, I'm just adding all these details for effect. And I was amazed and shocked. I think I'm still under the influence of that shock, how many of the survivors came out and forgave this killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most horrendous crime known to man, to kill people in church.
Mm-hmm.
When, after inviting the killer to sit among them for an hour, he turns on them, shoots the pastor first. The young man tried to rush him, a 28-year-old guy. His mother was also among the casualties. He tried to rush the guy. He was killed second, and then he took his time, one at a time, then went back and finished him off with multiple shots. Now, if you can forgive that, as Dr. Frances Cress Welfin said, she's a great, she wrote the book, The ISIS Papers. She said, that's a mental illness. She didn't mean worries.
Right.
She called into my radio show, called into the marketing pulpit, and she was a regular caller listener, and she's well known. She's really internationally known. And this book, ISIS Papers, is well known. It's a collector's item amongst a lot of young people. People can describe themselves as woke. Her mentor was Dr. Neely Fuller, who's one of my clients. And he says similar words that when there's no other way to explain that. No other race, no other people even come close.
Nobody.
So we know what did it to us. We weren't born that way. We would come from a rich heritage of kings and queens and warriors and Hannibal and all these kind of people. Nefertiti. So that wasn't it wasn't always this way. Let's put it that way.
I told a lady in my office this morning, because we were talking about that boy going up there hugging the girl that killed his brother, killed his brother. I told her, I said, I go to church. I consider myself a Christian. I said, but I'm not there yet. I said, if somebody shoot one of my brothers, if I have a thing to tell them, I said, you better be wearing a bulletproof vest for the rest of your life.
I tell you what, though.
I just told her, I'm not there yet. I'm sorry. I said, if at some point I get there and me and the Lord talk about it, me and the house, I said, okay, Lord, okay, I'm cool with that. You done told me, you talked to me, we all right now. But the Lord probably wouldn't tell me I got to go out there on television and hug the boy. You know what I'm saying?
Think about this, Joseph. The judge, who, of course, she gave him a Bible and hugged the lady also. But
yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I said she ought to be in jail.
What surprised me about
she
her.
She breached her duties. She's supposed to be fair and impartial. You're supposed to bring your religious beliefs to no courtroom.
That's true. Now, what was most surprising to me about her, she didn't know this guy's brother. She didn't know enough about him, whether he was violent, whether he was forgiving. The fact that she let him go get that close to somebody, she was derelicting her duty right there. Because I might have said, can I hug her? You give me about
hit our jugular.
A shot to the apple.
I'm saying, hey, I went straight for that jugular, baby. You're a blade of death right there in the courtroom.
Y'all boys getting out of hand.
No, I'm not
saying
that. I'm saying that the judge was derelicting her duty. She did not know that young man well enough to put him in that close proximity to somebody who had just killed her brother.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking.
Told me the judge had a problem. Judge had a problem.
I'm glad you said that, Robert. This is what I'm thinking. I think they were all in on that. This is a conspiracy theory that I just came up with. I think they were in on this. Because you had the bailiff over there fixing her hair and getting her ready to stand up and get the, you see that part?
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't watch it. I had to
change
the channel.
She was over there fixing her hair.
I saw that after about two strokes, and the same way with the boy hugging and the judge. Soon as the first time they threw it on, I had to turn it. I couldn't look at it. I couldn't watch it.
So I think the judge knew what the boy was going to do. She was confident because it had already been discussed.
Ooh. Good, Leon. That feeds that conspiracy theory that she had to know that this guy was not going to react in a certain way because she had some knowledge beforehand.
Right. I think they had all been threatened by the same people because, as you guys know, the key witness got murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about that too. A lot of people saying that just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, a bunch of crazy. There's a lot of craziness in that particular case. But like I said, people acting strange. What do you got to do?
Follow money.
Eating
ice cream while black. Wow. Got to eat ice cream.
I think they made some arrests on this killing of the witness.
Oh yeah, three black guys, and they say it was a drug deal that had gone south. And people are really skeptical about it. I don't really have enough detail to say it was or didn't. Did happen, but there was a lot of skepticism about the circumstances under which that happened. And some people think that was all a setup.
It was black or white.
The what?
Huh?
The guy that got killed.
The witness
that got killed, was he black or white?
Yeah, he was
black.
He was a black guy. I think Joshua Young.
He's real nervous about being in the public eye. And, you know, then there's this thing about snitching, whether you're snitching on the white police or whatever, in certain communities, is frowned upon, you know?
Right.
So he was a marked man. Mm. And just like so, I can say, who knows what kind of threatening phone calls this little boy got. his brother, and the judge and the bailiff. Good God, I couldn't believe the bailiff. She was the most disgusting.
I mean, shoot, it's one doing that treating the girl like she was a little. Yeah, she looked like she was treating the girl like she was a her little pet or something. It's, otherwise, that white woman probably wouldn't let that Negro put her hands in her house. But she already just rubbing. Ooh, ah! Talk about something.
It's pretty disgusting, man. It's pretty disgusting. But like I said, we got some strange things going on with us. Pretty strange things going on with us. So we need prayer.
We
need to stay prayed up, and somebody need to work while we're praying. That makes sense.
That's right.
Yeah, check this. I got to give you all this statistic, though, because it's been bothering me. And tell me if it bothers you all as much as it bothers me and what we should do about it. Most Americans go to college seeking future financial security, but many recent graduates only end up making the salary of a high school degree. That means people with all this debt, people coming out of college with $60,000, $70,000 in debt, and they are making the same amount of money as somebody with a high school degree. That's the recent graduates. Now, I'm not talking people like us when things were different, when the times were different. But this is a racket, boy, I'm telling you. You're talking about a racket to the something degree. Now, I would never be the one to say don't get you some education. But right now, young people are being sold a bill of goods. The times have not changed to keep up with the new realities of the workplace.
Yeah, the new realities of the workplace is that it's being totally controlled by government. You know, the government keeps minimum wage low and salaries low. Or they help industry. They won't pass laws that make industry or force industry to raise rates, you know, I mean, salaries and stuff like that. Only for these guys who at the top of the on the top of the totem pole. These guys, like GM, for instance, the workforce is out there protesting while they're finding a way, you know, because of low wages and things of that nature, while they're finding $22 million to pay the CEO. Can you imagine $22 million?
Yeah. Leon, the darn CEO over there at Presbyterian Hospital, I think he makes about $10 million. A non-profit.
Who in the world that smart?
That's kind of low.
That's kind of low.
That's kind of low. That's hospital.
The point beyond though, it's a lot, but there's nobody that much smarter than another person. Period.
That's right.
I'm just gonna say that categorically. You can be smart, yes. There are some smart people in the world, but the chasm between what the lowest people are paid and the higher paid people are paid. Your smarts, your IQ, I don't care if you're a member of the Men's Society, it's not proportionate. You're not that much smarter. You're not like 10,000 times smarter. So we know it has nothing to do with how smart you are.
You know, the reason they keep wages low is that because they have a control mechanism. Because they get different people in different positions of the job, and what they do, they calculate how much do they need to keep them working, sort of the same way they like they did slaves, you know, because naturally if you got a slave, you got to keep him fed, right?
Right.
And you got to give him a certain level of, you know, being able to dance and sing or do something. Or you got to make sure he has water. You can't let him freeze to death in the wintertime. You can't let him burn up in the summertime. So you got to keep him alive. And so the same, they apply that same concept to working people. They pay them just to keep them alive because if they pay them too much, well, they'll save money, and they'll probably save money. They might go into their own business. They may leave and go to another state, or they might just work for a while and quit because they have enough money now. But they need to keep them working, so they pay them just enough to exist.
Because, you know, people that make the lowest wages, those are the people that stay on the job the longest.
You know something else, Joe, is that also the lower paid people are also more susceptible to marketing influences. So the way they keep them on this wheel, like this wheel in the mouse in the treadmill, you get them in, you got them low paid, and then immediately the first thing they got to do is go out and get a car. And now you've been pulled into the cycle, which is also, Joseph, another story that ties into this. It almost feeds the whole premise I'm making here, is that the skyrocketing car prices are goading consumers into seeking multi-year loans for even the most basic cars. In other words, these same people now that are coming out of college with a average of less than $28,000 a year. And I think I made that back in 45 years ago when I came out of college.
I know. I was making more than that in 1980.
Yeah, and that's what they're coming out of school right now. The majority are making less than that. And not only that, they are being they come out with record high debt in terms of student loans, and now they are getting longer car loans. In other words, people used to go out and get old beat up hoopty or something, but now they're seeking these multi-year loans. We're talking about multi-year. We're talking about 6 and 7 years loans on a car that's only going to last about 3 or 4 years. So they're locking people in really early, and they do it on a very large scale. This is calculated, folks. This is calculated. There's no coincidence these two stories were on the same paper. I don't think they meant to put them there together because people start connecting the dots. But
wait,
it kind
of worry about
it.
I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they're not going to figure it out. But it's calculated. And this is where it gets tricky and precarious for us. Because in both of these numbers, once again, we are leading the charge. On the low salaries, the coming out of school with the low salaries, and paying the most on our cars because we're getting these very long loans at these high interest rates, and you are locked in. You talk about the prison, the school to prison pipeline. Well, this is the school to debt pipeline. It's laid out there waiting on you. And they decide, this didn't decide the day you walk down the aisle with that cap and gown. This has been premeditated, and that trap has been set from the time you were coming up through grade school, that you're going to come out of school with debt, and the debt is going to continue. And that's, like Joseph said earlier, that's how you control the masses, because now you owe them.
No.
You can't go anywhere. It's like, you owe me. You're not going anywhere. You owe me. You got to do this. Because you owe me. I'm going to take that house. I'm going to take that car.
Mm-hmm. And seeing the sad thing about there are a lot of people out here that could be free, but they have grown so accustomed to being a slave, they just continue to do it. Just because a lot of people, they get right to the point where they can pay the car off or they can pay the house off, and they go right out and find another big one they can find.
Right. Well, that's why I started. That's two things. That's why I started. I wrote a book called Played in Full, because I'm a marketer. I'm on the inside. I know all the tricks in the trade. And that's why certain types of clients I won't take. I don't take vaping clients. I don't take cigarette clients. I don't take things that have been proven to be detrimental to our community. I shun. I don't accept those people as clients. And that's also, like I said, my book and my radio show. I'm trying to show people as much information I'm giving to companies on how to improve their marketing. I'm also hoping to open the eyes of people who are going to be the target of some of this marketing. And that's why a lot of times I say it's like a loaded gun. Some of these marketing tactics these big companies use, these folks don't just come out of college wanting to go out and buy a loan, get a car and pay for over 7 years. They've been tricked and conned into believing that's the way it should be, or that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what a lot of times, like Joe, we were laughing the other day. So what is advertising? It's called arresting one's development long enough. I mean, arresting one's intelligence long enough to get money from it. So,
hey, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Robert. Would you take a Crown Apple client?
Crown Apple, what's that?
That's a,
what is Crown Apple?
Crown. Crown Royal.
Crown Royal.
It's apple flavor.
Oh, oh, the alcohol?
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Probably not. And they aren't, and that's not being almighty or mighty or holier than thou. I just don't. Even if I use,
you just got it going on like that. That's good, man.
No, that's, I don't.
Good.
I just made some certain decisions. I have a story of a client that I was, once upon a time, I was on the in crowd of a group of white guys who were very wealthy. And one of them wanted me to work on this project. It was called, he had a liquor store over in Georgetown called the Dixie Liquors or something.
Dixie
Liquors, yes. As soon as you cross the bridge into Georgetown, I think the Key Bridge into Georgetown. And I laid awake at night thinking about this client, and I was thinking about the money, because these guys were connected. They were, once you're on the inside, man, they pass you around like the pool boy, like Gatewood. This guy's smart. He's a marketing genius. And I'm sure I would have probably been set for life by now if I had just stayed inside. I was inside. I had gotten inside the gate, and I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I didn't like the name Dixie, and I knew he was probably wasn't going to change it because of me. And I didn't like the fact that they were selling liquor. And I say this knowing, and I don't mind telling the world that, yeah, I'll have a drink every now and then. But I cannot be, I don't want to be responsible for convincing somebody else to do it. If they're going to come on at their own, more power to you. But I understand the power of marketing. You do things you hadn't planned or wanted to do.
That's
because
true.
Of marketing.
That's why these kids out there. That's why these kids out there dying from vaping and black folks drinking. What's that old crazy local? Just drink that stuff, man. Got you going. To ask you guys a quick question, man.
Yeah.
Robert, anybody ever accuse you of something you didn't do, man?
I'm sure. Let me think. I'm pretty sure. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, but I didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you.
That's a tough thing. What about Joseph? I know Joseph has a story.
I went to jail. I stayed in jail. Well,
you went in jail.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't mean to laugh. I remember
in jail.
That was bad.
Remember when I went to jail when I was in high school?
Yeah,
remember
I mean,
that hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that one of you? Oh yeah, man, you made news, man.
Yeah,
you came out of the king of the hill, boy. You had your
white
you got your
boys went in there. them white, because when the police got there, I thought help had arrived, because this white man, I didn't realize then what I know now, that he was actually guilty of kidnapping, because he held us at gunpoint against our will. And the police in the case, because I was a pretty smart kid back then, because they had held us for a while, and finally I just said, look, I said, you all can't come up with anything to charge us with. I said, you all have to let us go. And when I said that, they went to work. Boy, they went over there and blew the dust off those law books they had in there. They were going through them and back to discussing things that they could charge us for. And I heard one man say, well, maybe we can charge them for statutory rape. And the other man said, you can't charge them for no statutory rape. Those girls are older than they are. And so they kept right on saying, do they have a gun? No, they ain't got no gun. Then the other said, what kind of tools did you find in the car? They ain't got no tools in the car. And then one of them said, well, what about that key they got? Well, we can say that was an instrument that they had with the intention to commit burglary. And so that's what they charged us with. Possession of an instrument with the intent to commit burglary. We stayed in jail from, they picked us up that night about 11 o'clock. And, of course, and Daddy finally was able to get us out about 4 o'clock the next day. But let me tell you how what was so amazing about that night. Those guys threatened to shoot us every time we turned. If you do that, I'm going to shoot. If you do that, I'm going to shoot. I heard shoot so many times. And keep in mind, I'm only 17 years old. And before the police got there, the white man with the gun, took the gun and just rubbing it through my cousin's head. But I loaded 38. We knew it was loaded. And then he started towards me, and I was so convinced that I was going to die. I told that white man in his face, I said, I'm not afraid of you or that gun. And when I said that, he stopped in his tracks. Because I had made up in my mind that one of us is not going to make it out of here tonight. But anyway, going back to the end of the story, when we got to court, by the grace of God, well, in other words, in spite of all those threats, and this is in 1971, and these white people threatened to shoot us so many times, but they never did shoot us. Matter of fact, they didn't even lay a hand on me, except for the fact to put the handcuffs on it and eventually take them off me to put us in the jail. But, and I found that amazing, that they did not lay a hand on us. And when we got to the courtroom, the judge looked at what they had charged us with, and he basically said, what? And the guy, we didn't go to witness stand or anything. And the man got up there and started talking about the guy that, you know, the guy that had accused us of whatever those trumped up charges were. He started talking well, these boys had done, the judge said, these boys ain't done nothing. That's another thing the judge said. These boys hadn't done anything. Well, what we're trying to do is keep them from swapping these keys around. The judge said, they're not in here for that. He said, let these boys go. And everybody, and the man kept running talking. He, that guy, he said, let these boys go. And that was the end of it. But, yeah, we were accused. And the crazy jackleg lawyer we had down there in Wadesboro, he had convinced that we could get up to 30 years in prison. And now, you know, I'm a young black, 17 years old, and you got to live with that over your head, 30 years in prison. And you know you hadn't done anything.
And you know how many young brothers, like, went to jail, you know, like that?
Yeah.
You know,
you get them in those,
back then.
In those. Get them in those interrogation rooms and scare the bejeebus out of them.
Like that movie, When They See Us.
I'm going to tell you, and that's one thing I say, boy. That's why I am so sympathetic and empathetic to people who have been falsely accused. Because I know what it's like. I know what the mental pain and the mental anguish and anxiety that you have to deal with during that time, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. You know, not knowing whether you're going to get in the courtroom, you got a crazy judge that just left a Klan rally. You didn't know.
You know what Mao Zedong said, right is on the side of the stronger. It's like, and unfortunately, that type of thinking has entered into our judicial system. It's not a matter of necessarily who's right and wrong. It's who has the most money or who has the most power.
Exactly right. And let me tell you guys something. And I can tell you for sure, just based on, you know, some what we've been going through lately. There are a lot of black people out here that do not understand the concept of due process. They do not understand it. They do not understand that when you go in a courtroom, you don't have to prove that you're innocent. They have to prove that you're guilty. And a lot of times, I think a lot of attorneys don't even understand that. And that's the main reason why we got so, that's one of the main reasons why we got so many black men in prison, is because even black people do not understand due process. They do not understand that you are innocent until you are proven guilty, and you do not have to prove your innocence.
Oh, you know.
Pardon me?
No, I'm talking to somebody over here. Go ahead.
And black people, we need to wake up, and we need to understand that. And we need to stop every time somebody, but here again, it's the way black folks are when it comes to other black people. You come out here and you accuse a black man of something, and before you see any evidence,
before you hear any arguments. Just because you saw it in the news, you automatically convict him. Other black people. And that is disgusting.
Well, that kind of goes back to that. Well, that kind of it's kind of the same thinking behind the Amber Guy case, where they automatically, even when she's convicted of a crime, they're willing to forgive her and question whether or not she's really guilty. That's really what they're saying. Even though the system has said you're guilty, I don't really believe you're really guilty. But let that be a brother.
Oh, man.
Let that be a brother.
Really, hanging from the village square.
Yeah, like got Bill Cosby of him. He about blind, can't half walk, sick, 80-something years old. But he got this man in a prison based on some allegations that coming all the way back from 20 and 30 years ago. Same token, you got a president, a white man up here in the White House. He has said publicly that he sexually harasses women. He has said it publicly. And I don't have to repeat what he said. And then...
No, you don't, brother.
You got another white man that he nominated for the Supreme Court. And he's in the Supreme Court now. But you think a brother could have gotten away with that?
My brother couldn't have gotten away with that.
Clarence, I know you think of, people think about Clarence Thomas, but see, but what they said Clarence Thomas did was nothing like what this Kavanaugh guy did. This woman said he raped her.
Plus, we know Clarence Thomas was on the right side as well. So, brothers, we're going to leave it right there. Our time is up. It's been a lively conversation as usual. Brothers, I appreciate you guys spending time with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brother for Real Radio Show. We're here every Wednesday from 7 till 8, normally, with Robert, Joseph Curtis, and Leon Gatewood. And we're always trying to talk about things that are facing our community and sometimes even our families. So we're out of here. Number to call is 215-383-3872. You can check on the, you can click on the big link and hear this show all over again tonight if you feel like it. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, bro. Good show, man. Talk to you later.
Have a good night, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. come on, come on, come on.